So what happened with this man?
At that point, once his disease progressed further, we talked about whether he wanted to explore any more disease-agnostic early-phase clinical trials. He ultimately opted not to, and we moved more in the direction of palliative care.
What were his palliative issues?
So at that point, he was on some pain medications, so some opioid analgesics, short and long-acting. In addition to that, for most patients, it really is just a gradual, we'll call it inanition, meaning a greater degree of fatigue and asthenia and losing weight and either anorexia, or even if they do eat, they're continuing to lose weight. So it's kind of a gradual overall decline in their functional and nutritional status.
You have referred to complementary strategies. Any complementary strategies that you found helpful in pancreatic cancer in general, with the anorexia specifically? And what about medical marijuana?
So certainly in the Bay Area and in California, many of our patients ask about medical marijuana. I actually, based on the testimonies of my patients, am a proponent of that for relieving a number of symptoms, particularly with regards to nausea and poor appetite. I do think that it is sometimes as good or better than any, especially appetite stimulants, that we can prescribe for them. You know, obviously they come in different preparations now in terms of chewables and sucking candies and things. The proportion of the active ingredients, including the CBD and THC, which is the one that kind of gives you the bigger high, can be adjusted to try to reduce the sort of psychoactive effects of it. And what I tell folks is that I think it is good for symptom relief oftentimes. They sometimes wonder whether it also has direct anti-cancer activity. And for that, I'll say I don't think the evidence is quite so strong to say that that is really going to help reduce the growth of your cancer.
I was wondering, is there like a cultural barrier? I mean, now in California, it's legalized, but is there a cultural barrier that you have to get through? And also, what about opioids? Do you have issues with trying to get it to your patients?
Yeah, so I think the cultural climate is changing, where certainly in my region, it is becoming increasingly accepted. I will say still in certain cultures, there's a, you know, like Asian cultures and things where the idea of marijuana as still a sort of an illicit drug creates this sense of, you know, that there's an issue with it. The kind of places that you can purchase marijuana now, though, are not these seedy, you know, suspicious places, but they really are sort of very nice and clean and things. And I think when patients see that, they're a little bit more comforted. You know, the whole, with all of the news about the opioid epidemic, patients, for many of them, they're concerned about the addictive potential and things like that. So sometimes that requires a conversation. What I usually tell patients is poorly controlled pain affects so many other dimensions of your life, from appetite to sleep to mood to just activity. And those other factors are going to conspire to bring you down. And so usually through that dialogue and explaining that the concern for addiction and tolerance and stuff are really, I recognize the reality of them, but in your particular circumstances, they're really not of great concern. And the vast majority get it. I do still have some patients who still absolutely would rather live in pain than to use any opioids at all. And then we try to think of other adjunctive methods to use. Obviously, some patients are maybe good candidates for celiac nerve blocks and other adjunctive strategies.